welcome to class today. Glad to see you all here. Good to be back. Before we begin, any comments, questions, or other things for me? Yes?
Is that for us?
Is what? I don't know. Not for this class, anyway.
Okay.
I suppose you're welcome to go. I don't actually know what they're reviewing. Any other questions? Okay, so then let's talk about a few matters of business. If we look at the schedule, you will notice that today we talk about loops, chapter 4. We devote 4 whole class periods to chapter 4 of the textbook. I think you'll find reading it will make your life easier. Some people have difficulty with this topic. 2 weeks from today, you will notice test 1 will be given. It will be given in class. It will be on paper. You won't need your computer. All you'll need is something to write with. We'll talk more about the details of what it'll look like as we come closer. If you have a university excused absence on that day, then next week I will be in touch about how we can arrange an alternate time. If you have an absence that is not university excused, then you should be here 2 weeks from today to take the exam. So that's coming up. We will spend an entire day talking about the exam before it happens. We'll also post some review materials and so on to make your life slightly easier as that comes up. Another thing to note, on Wednesday's lecture, it will be encrypted and we'll talk about how that goes, but basically this will mean that when you come to class on Wednesday, 2 days from today, you should bring your computer, some comfortable shoes, and warm coat, because you'll be going around outside doing things. So come prepared for that. We will have the details for you when you show up for lecture on Wednesday. I think that is all the administrivia I have. Any questions, comments, or other things we should discuss? Okay. So with that, let's talk about loops. Before I do this, I have read at least some of chapter 4. The 1 o'clock class is beating you. All right, so great. Some of you have read some of chapter 4. Most of you haven't, so we'll give some of the background here. I know what a loop is. I know what the word means. Most of you, good. We've seen them before with Turtle. We will take apart how Java does loops, show you all the ins and outs of it, go through a couple of examples. As you go through the next few days, we'll talk about some specific kinds of loops that can be useful and how they work. So, the basic idea of a loop is just that we do something more than once, and the simplest kind of loop that Java has is the while loop. So we're going to compare it to the if statement. So I could say, for example, if 3 is less than 4, then print something out. And let's print out math works, because it turns out that if 3 is less than 4, the math still works. And if not, we're in real trouble. Okay, if statement. We've seen these. If the thing in parentheses is true, that thing is sometimes called a guard or condition. If that is true, then we do the thing in the curly braces. If it is not true, we don't do it. So the thing in the curly braces happens 0 or 1 times. It does not get repeated, but it might not happen at all. The while loop looks very similar. In fact, the only thing we have to change to make this a while loop is change the word from if to while. The while loop has slightly different meaning in a very important way. In an if statement, when I'm done with the statement, I move on. I either do what's in the curly braces or I don't, but either way, I then move on with my program. In a while loop, after I've done whatever's in the curly braces, I come back up and evaluate the guard again. Okay? So instead of moving on with the program, I come back up, and I keep coming back up to that first line of the while statement until it is no longer true. So if I were to run this piece of code, I would see that it prints out math works a lot of times. You can see the scroll bar bouncing up and down. Okay? It will print it out as fast as it can forever. And it will print it out forever because 3 is always less than 4. So every time it prints out MathWorks, it then comes back up and says, is 3 still less than 4? Yes, it is. MathWorks. Is 3 still less than 4? Yes, it is. MathWorks. Is 3 still less than 4? Yes, it is. MathWorks. Forever. Okay? So this is the basic idea of a while loop. It is also the basic idea of an infinite loop. You will write infinite loops by mistake. You almost never want them. If you write an infinite loop by mistake, Eclipse gives you this nice little red box which says, terminate the currently running program. Because it will never stop on its own, I will come in here and terminate it. And then it will stop so I can go about and do other things. So, while, keep going as long as it is true. Questions about that concept? Yes?
Can you put while loops in if?
Yes. You can put whiles in ifs and ifs and whiles and whiles and whiles and ifs and ifs and so on ad infinitum. Other questions? Yes?
Do you need that if statement?
Do I need the if statement? I don't need either one. This is just a demonstration. These two statements are unrelated from each other. First the if happens, then the while happens. Any other questions, clarification I can make before we start talking about why you would want to do such a thing? Okay, so usually when you write a while, you don't want it to run forever. And the way you make it not run forever is you make sure that that guard, that thing in parentheses, will change eventually to be false. So you want something inside the body of the loop, something in the curly braces, to change something about the thing that we are checking. Okay? So if I, for example, were to make a variable int x equals 17 and check x is less than 4, this will not run at all, okay? Because 17 is not less than 4. So if I run this, it only prints the first MathWorks once from the if statement. But if I want it to happen sometimes but not a whole lot of times, then usually what I will do is I will put inside the while loop something that changes the value of something that is being checked. Okay? So I might, for example, reduce x by 3 every time through my loop. By reducing it by 3 every time in my loop, eventually x will be not to be greater than 5 and the loop will stop. Let's change our print line to be a little bit more descriptive. Let's say x equals plus x. Okay? And now when I run it, I see x equals 17, x equals 14, x equals 11, x equals 8. It stopped because x kept changing. And usually when you write a loop, pretty much all the time, you want to make sure that something inside the loop changes something about the guard. Some eventually will make it false. Questions? Okay, then I have a question for you. Why does it stop with x equals 8? Isn't 8 still greater than 5? Yes?
Because on the next one, 5 is not greater than 5.
Because on the next one, 5 is not greater than 5. Okay, but I don't see a next one.
It never gets there.
It never gets there. Agreed. All right, so if we think what happens, x is 17. 17 is greater than 5. We print out x is 17. We change x from 17 to 14. We come back up. 14 is greater than 5. We print out x is 14. We change x to be 11. 11 is greater than 5. So we print out x is 11, and we change x to be 8. 8 is greater than 5, so we print out x is equal to 8, and we change x to be 5. 5 is not greater than 5, so we are done with the loop. And we continue with whatever comes after this in the program, which before was just nothing at all. We'll make it print done, just so we can see that it does indeed continue with whatever's after it in the program. Hey. So it just walks through their code as designed. When it gets to the end of the loop, it goes back up to the top. And because we printed it out before we subtracted, we would never see that value 5 for x. Questions, comments, concerns? I get it. This makes sense. You should move on. I'm still a little foggy. Talk some more about it. Okay, the majority certainly thinks they get it, so we'll move on. There's plenty of reading about this in the book if you were one of the few that found it fuzzy. While loops. There's 3 different kinds of loops in Java, and we'll talk about the other 2 in a moment. But first I want to talk about one of the most common types of while loops that we will see. While loops are primarily useful when we don't know how many times something should happen. And one of the most common ways to not know how many times something should happen is if we want to do something with all of the available values. So we'll commonly make what we will call a hasNext loop. So I'll make a scanner here. It's going to read from system.in because that's the scanners we know about so far. And then what I want to do is I want to process every single value the scanner can find, however many there are. The way I want to do that is I'm going to say, in essence, while s has more input to read, then I want to do something with that input. Okay? The way I encode s has more input to read in Java is to say s.hasNext, and then whatever the type of input I want is. So let's say hasNext int. So while s has another integer I can read, then I want to do something with that integer. Okay? So I better read that integer, s.nextInt, and I'll save that as int y, if I can spell correctly. Okay? And then I'll do something with that int. For now, let's just print it out. We can do something more interesting here in a moment. Okay? So I make a scanner. I say, while it has more input, read some input, do something with it. Very common way of writing a loop. Anytime we're going to get input from the user, we ought to ask the user, tell the user that we expect input. So let's put a system.println or print type. Numbers. Not a very useful prompt, but at least it's enough that we know we expect something. Okay? So type numbers. While there are numbers, read a number, print it out. I run this. It says type numbers. I type 1. It says y is 1. I type 3. It says y is 3. I type 1, 2, 3, 4. It says y is 1, y is 2, y is 3, y is 4. I type word, and it's done. Because word was not an int. Okay, let's actually make this clearer by putting it over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, word. Okay? So, let's talk about how this is working. When I ask a scanner, do you have another integer? It doesn't know the answer until it knows what is next. So it waits for me to type so it knows what the next thing is. I typed 1. It decides 1 is an integer, so hasNext gives me a true. When hasNext gives me a true, I can read that next integer, and I should not have done that because I just lost my output. Okay, so nextInt will give me that 1. I will save it in y. I print it out, and so I see y equals 1. I'm now done the loop, so I come back up and I say, is there another integer? And it doesn't know until I type something, so it waits for me to type. I type a 2. 2 is indeed an integer. So I read the 2. I save it as y. I print out y as 2. It comes back up and says, is there another integer? And it doesn't know until I type something. I type 4 numbers. So now it's actually got enough to work with. It knows it's the first one. The next thing is an int. It's a 1. So it grabs the 1 and prints it out. The next thing after that's already there. It's a 2. It prints that out. The next thing after that's already there. It's a 3. It prints that out. The next thing after that's already there. It's a 4. It prints it out. It doesn't have a next thing, so it waits for me to type. I type the word word. Word is not an integer, so it stops. It says I do not have another int. And the loop concludes. Questions?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very common type of loop. We will see these most of the semester, where we want to read everything that somebody gives us. Sometimes from the keyboard, we'll talk about how we do it with files and web pages shortly. But this general pattern is very common. One of the things we need to think about as we do this is the has next and the next needs to agree. So if I'm reading lines of text, I need a has next line with a next line. If I'm reading doubles, I need has next double and next double. You always want the two to match up. If they don't match up, there's the chance that the scanner will say, yes, I have another double, and then I try to grab an int and it isn't one and it blows up. So you always want your has nexts and your next to agree with each other. Whatever you're reading, make sure they both are the same type. All right. That's about what I want to say about the while with the has next. So let's talk about two other kinds of loops. Java has three types of loops in total. There's while, there's for, and there's do. Let's talk about the do, or also called the do while, first. So if I say do, this has a rather strange syntax. Let's do this. Okay. So if I were to say, for example, do x plus equals 1 while x is less than 100. What does this mean? The do loop is shorthand for a particular way of writing a while loop. Okay? So that do while loop means the same as if I had put the middle the thing inside first, and then had the while, and then had the middle thing, again. Okay? So what does do while mean? It means do it once, and then start doing the usual while thing. Okay? Do is very rare. I have worked on projects with hundreds of thousands of lines of code, and many developers that didn't contain a single do loop. You don't see them very often. I'm not going to test you on your ability to write do loop code, or to remember where the semicolon goes, or any of that. You should have a general idea what a do loop means, so if I show you a valid one, you can talk about it intelligently. So you should know that it does the thing once, and thereafter it acts like a while loop. But that's about what you need to know about do loops. I should also comment, because I don't think we've seen this before, plus equal means the same thing as x equals x plus. Okay? It's shorthand. It's a very common shorthand for increasing a value of a variable. So if I had said x equals x plus 3, then I would be increasing x by 3 each time. All of the mathematical operators have this form, so I can also do times equals, minus equals, divide equals, modulo equals. Okay, you should be familiar with the fact that those exist. Plus equals gets used a reasonable amount. Most of the others are less common, but they all show up from time to time. Question about plus equals or about do while? Yes.
Yes.
Let's make that more clear. The next three lines of code mean the same as the next four lines of code. End of definition of do while. Is that clear? Yes. You can't have do without while. You can have while without do, of course, but you can't have do without while. But again, I'm not expecting you to learn the intricacies of do while. Just sort of know that it does its body once before it starts checking. Any other questions? Okay, let's talk about the third kind of loop. Is the for loop. It is also shorthand for writing a while. And we'll show you what that shorthand means, and we'll talk about why. So if I say for int I equals 0, I is less than 10, plus plus I. Okay. Let's have it do something. So if I have a for loop, inside the parentheses, there are three parts. And those three parts get moved around when we change it into something that looks like a while statement. So I can write these lines here. Let's do this again. So the next four lines of code mean the same as, I think it'll end up being six lines of code. We'll come back and look at that. Okay. So, what does this mean? It means first we do the first thing inside the parentheses. Then we while the second thing. We do whatever was inside the middle. And then we do the third thing. Okay. One, two, three. 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, I got it correctly. Okay. These two pieces of code mean exactly the same thing. There's some sort of initialization, there's the normal guard, and then there's what's often called the update. So I should comment. Plus plus I means the same thing as I plus equals 1. It turns out that incrementing by 1 is very common, so they made a special plus plus to do that. You could put the plus plus either before or after the variable. It makes very little difference. So what does this code do? It starts I at 0. As long as I is less than 10, we print out the value of I and we increment I by 1. It goes up to 1, then 2, then 3, and so on. So if I'm to run this code, and I don't want to type any numbers, I will see that both the for loop and the while loop print the numbers from 0 to 9 in order. Okay? Questions? Okay, so why do we have these three kinds of loops? We have do loop mostly because back in the days before there were programming languages where people were writing in assembly languages and said do is slightly easier to write than while. And so they left it. And it's still here, mostly for that reason. While and for, though, are each good for a different kind of thing. Usually we use while if we don't know how many times to repeat something. Okay? I cannot tell before I start how many times I will go. I usually use for if I can tell in advance how many times I want to repeat some action. So for loops are sort of designed for this case where I'm counting how many times I've done the loop. I set up my counter, I check my counter, and I increment my counter all on one line. Keeps it clean. Keeps me from accidentally putting something in the wrong place or forgetting one of the pieces. So they're designed for this I know how many times kind of situation. I'm just counting along and doing something at every step. So if you can figure out before the loop begins how many times it should run, use for. If you can't, use while. It's a general rule. Yes?
Why do you need the empty quotation marks?
Why? They are not empty. There's a space in between them. And why is there a space there?
So it looks better.
So that there's a gap between the numbers. Yep. Other questions? Yes?
Is the plus plus I the only instance where that kind of shorthand occurs, like you do minus minus I?
You can do minus minus 2, but you cannot do star star slash slash or divide or mod mod. Okay? Because multiplying, dividing, or moduloing by 1 has never turned out to be an interesting exercise. But you can both increment and decrement by 1. Other questions? Yes?
What is the command? Does that print out the numbers?
Do what does what? Sorry, which command do?
Like, did you type in do?
I typed in do up here, and this changed the value of x, but it didn't print anything. I'm not sure I know what you're asking.
Oh, right.
In the console, I wrote do. Why did I write do? Okay. That was because back up here, it's waiting for me to type something that isn't a number. So I just typed something that wasn't a number. Okay. Other questions? Okay. So let's talk about how we would use this to solve problems. Okay? We're going to use loops to do something tangentially interesting. Here's what we're going to try to do. Given a line of text, we're going to count how many capital letters that line of text contains. Okay? That's our task. And as I'm going to walk through this, we're going to start by sort of taking apart what we have to do this in comments. Often, particularly when you first start writing code, you start writing code before you think about how you solve the problem. And if you do that, you'll get confused. And if you do that with loops, you'll end up with loops that run forever, never run at all, and you're not sure why your program's just sitting there not doing anything. Okay. So we're going to put some comments in our code describing the course of action that we're going to use to solve this problem. So, what is something I will have to do in order to count how many capital letters a line of text contains? Lots of pieces to this. What's one thing we have to do? Anybody? Yes? We're going to have to get a line of text. I'm going to assert that's the first thing we're going to have to do. Okay? What else will we have to do? Yes? Okay, so making a scanner is part of getting that line of text. So let's say 1A is make a scanner. Other things we need to do. Yes? A place function? Ah, so we could use replace. We're not going to use replace this time. Okay? So replace actually is it's written, it has a loop inside it. We're kind of going to see how that works. Okay? So we're not going to use replace. We could, but we won't. Yes?
Use a car function?
Ah, so we might need to do something with characters. There actually isn't a function called car. There is car at. Okay? But we'll need to do something with each character, right? Each character can either be lowercase or uppercase. We're going to have to check each one of them. Anything else we'll need to do? Yes? Ah, okay, so I'm going to change my numbering here. I'm going to have to keep a count of capitals. Okay, if I want to count them, I have to have some variable to count them in. Other ideas? What else do we need to do? Yes? We need a prompt. 1B, we need to prompt the user to type a line. Other things we'll need to do. Yes?
Do you need some way to compare the string you get with, like, whether or not the characters in the string are lowercase and uppercase?
Okay.
Somehow
compare to see if uppercase. Okay, we probably want to do that with each character. Anything else we need to do? Yes?
Keep track of which character we're at within the line of text.
Okay, I like it. So we need to, I don't know how my numbering is getting messy here. We'll change numbering later, okay? But I'm going to need to keep track of which letter I'm looking at. This is important. If you think about how do I do this as a human, you start scanning from one side of the text to another. That scanning process is keeping track of which letter you're looking at. We need Java to do the same thing. Anything else? I'm going to add one more. Or print the result. Okay? So we've got some ideas of some pieces we need. Okay? And most of them, 1, 2, and 4, pretty straightforward. But 3 is still a little fuzzy. Okay? We don't really have a fully defined what part 3 is. Okay? Because there's some other pieces we need here. Do something with each character. Okay? You need to do something with every character I receive. You need to somehow compare if it's uppercase or not. Okay? So what I'd like you to do, turn to your neighbors, or if you don't like people, do it by yourself, but hopefully you like people because life's more fun if you do. Turn to your neighbors and try to flesh out what would this step 3 look like. Are there more things we should have there? Do you have specific questions? I don't know how to do X. Okay? And if you really think you know it, you can even start writing some code. So I'd encourage you to make sure you have all the comments you need before you have any code. So we'll take just a minute, turn to your neighbor, talk a bit, then we'll come back together and see where we go. Okay. So, before we start looking at the pieces here, are there any more pieces we should put up here? More comments I should add to what's going on? Yes?
Should you pull up the ASCII chart?
So perhaps a 3BI is going to be use the ASCII chart. Okay? What is ASCII? Remember we talked a little bit about how every character is stored in the computer as a number. That mapping, at least the part for English letters, is called ASCII. So we could pull up a chart and look at it. We don't have to, actually. We probably won't as we go forward, but we could. Other ideas? Other things we should add to our list? I think if we do what's written in the comments, we will be done. I think there's something we have to do that is not written in the comments. What do we need to do that is not written in the comments? Yes? Okay, so we're going to have to, I don't even know what to call these anymore, find the length of the line of text. Why? Yeah, so I know how many characters I have to look at. Okay? Anything else I need to do? Yes, in the back.
Run a for loop.
A for loop. Why a for loop?
You can set it to 26 characters.
We can make a for loop for each of 26 characters. We could do that. That's not how I'm going to solve the problem, but I am going to use a for loop. Okay? I'm actually going to make a for loop for each character in the line instead. Why is that a for loop instead of a while loop? Remember we said for loop is for when you know how many things there are before you start. We just said we can find the length of the characters. That length is how many times my loop's going to have to go. All right, let's start putting some of this into code. Hey, get a line of text, make a scanner. I'm good at that. Scanner, what should I call my scanner? Nobody cares. I will call it Horatio. Because it seems like a good name for a scanner to me at the moment. I'll probably regret that later. Okay. Prompt the user for a line of text. System.out.println. Enter a line of text. I don't want that to be a println. I want it to be a print. Because it's a prompt. Okay. Oops, I didn't have 1C here. Read the line. String line equals Horatio. Nope, it's not going to let me do it. Yikes, I'm now typing in Chinese. I don't know why that happened. Let's cheer. Do we see English in this list? English, there we are. Okay. Ratio dot next line. Okay. Great, so I've done step one. I've made a scanner, I've printed a prompt, I've read a line. Keep count of the capital letters. How many capital letters have I found so far? Zero. All right, so int capitals equals zero. Zero capitals so far. I'll skip step three for now. I'll jump right down to four. System.out.println. There were capital letters in line. That's a really long line of text. I'm going to arbitrarily split it into two lines. Okay. So I've done everything except the hard piece. And now I'm going to do something I encourage you to do. Run your program very often. I'm going to run it right now. Enter a line of text. No. There were zero capital letters in no. Okay, well, I got it wrong. But at least it ran. Okay? I strongly encourage you, run your code a lot. Because as programs get bigger, if you try to write the whole thing and then run it and it doesn't work, you don't know what part you did wrong. So I'm going to run it as often as I think I can so that I can see if things are working. I can detect the moment I add an error. Okay, so what did we say we need to do something for each character? First off, I've got two different for loops and I only need one, so I'm just going to get rid of one of them. Okay, I'm not going to do a for loop for each of 26 characters. I'm just going to do it for each character in the line. Could we do this for each of 26 characters instead? Yes. I'm not going to. Okay? The first thing I have here is find the length of the line of text. Int length equals line.length. If I can spell length correctly. If you don't happen to remember the method for getting the length of a line of text, if you remember, you go to the wiki, you can go and see the various methods that strings have available. We know we need to look at string because line is a string. So I get the length. I make a for loop. We almost always start our for loops for int I equals 0 because I is the traditional letter. I is less than length plus plus I. Okay? At this point, I'm going to run my program again. It should do exactly what it did before. No. And it still says there's zero letters. Okay? If I had done something wrong, it might have run forever. So it's worthwhile running it, even though it's not doing anything interesting, to make sure I wrote my loop in a way that makes sense. Make sure that it actually does terminate after running for a bit. Okay? So, I've got three things left. Keep track of which letter I'm looking at, somehow compare to see if it's uppercase, possibly using the ASCII chart. So which letter am I looking at? I'm looking at the ith letter. First I'm looking at the zeroth letter, then the oneth letter, then the twoth letter, and so on. In Java, we always start counting at zero. Most programming languages you start counting at zero. Why? It has something to do with optimizing early chips. Doesn't matter anymore, but that's still what we do. Okay? So the first letter in the string is index 0, is I of 0, which is why we start at 0. Okay? So I is the letter I'm looking at. What is that letter actually? It's going to be a character. And it's going to be the line.char at I. So first the character at 0, then the character at 1, then the character at 2, and so on until we get to the end of the line of text. Let's make sure this works. I run it, I enter no again because I can, and it runs. If I had started counting at 1, or if I had counted too many, I would have received an error when I ran it for going off the end of my string, for trying to ask for a number that doesn't exist. Okay, but because I started at 0 and stopped before I got to the length, one less than the length, then this runs just fine. Questions so far? Okay. Somehow I want to compare to see if it's uppercase. I could use the ASCII chart. Okay? Every number, every letter has a number. I happen to know that capital A is at number 65. Capital Z, therefore, would be number 65 plus 25, which is, was that 90, 91, something like that. And so I could just check to see if it's in that range. I don't want to do that, though, because then I'd have a 65 and a 95 or whatever it is, 91 floating around in my code, and that would be confusing. So I'm going to do it easier. I'm going to say if the character is greater than or equal to a capital A and the character is less than or equal to a capital Z, then it's uppercase. Okay? This works because every letter has some position, and all the capital letters are next to each other. All the lowercase letters are next to each other. So if it's between A and Z, then I'm in the right range. If I'm not between A and Z, I'm not. We don't have anywhere down here what to do when we find a capital letter. What do I want to do if I find a capital letter? Yes. Yes, I want to increase capitals by one. There's three ways I could do that. I could do capitals equals capitals plus one. I could do capitals plus equals one. I could do plus plus capitals. They all mean the same thing, but I should only do one of the three. I'm going to pick the middle one. Okay? All three mean the same thing. Usually when I'm incrementing something, I use plus equals. You're welcome to use whichever one you find most convenient. Now let's see how this goes. I enter my line of text. No! Oh, there was one capital letter. Yes, there was. Let's try a different thing. How about if I spell fire with a capital R and a capital F, I get two capital letters. Okay? So it's counting the capitals. And how is it doing that? It's looking at each letter one at a time from beginning to end, checking to see if it's between A and Z, and if it is, adding one to the count. Questions? Okay. One of the things that is true, although it sometimes it's unclear why, we explain loops. They don't look that bad. It just repeats something. Then you start writing code and you get confused by them. About half of you will be seriously confused a week from now. So we'll give you a lot of experience and a lot of practice. We'll be doing loops in CLAB. We'll be doing loops in homework. Okay? And one way to do it is you sort of outline it in comments first, then you turn your comments into code. We'll talk about another way to do it in a moment, but there was a hand here. Okay, so if it says the I is not a variable, what do you do? It would say the I is not a variable if the I wasn't a variable. Okay, so my I was a variable because I declared it right up here in my for loop. If you declared that something else, or if you put this line outside of the for loop, so not inside the curly braces, or if you put a semicolon between a parentheses and curly braces, remember, semicolons never go between parentheses and curly braces. Then it would give you that error because it wouldn't be able to see I. Did that one of those work for you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you post this whole page of code somewhere?
It's already in the lecture notes. I put it up there several hours before class began. Other questions? Okay, this is one way to write a loop, sometimes called top-down. I start trying to outline everything that's going to happen. I work my way down to the details. There is another way, which is called bottom-up. I write what I want to have happen once, and then I wrap it up in a loop. So we're going to see how to do that with this code. I want to change this code so that it works for any arbitrary number of lines of text, not just one, as many as you happen to give me. Okay? That's my goal. I want to work as many lines as there are. So the idea for bottom-up is I write it so it works for one thing. This currently works for one line. And then I figure out how much of this code should be repeated. Okay? What should be repeated? Well, clearly getting another line needs to be repeated. Possibly even asking for a line. That's not necessarily important, though. But I certainly want to repeat getting a line of text. I want to repeat looping over the line of text, adding to capitals. But I probably don't want to repeat printing out the number of capital letters there are. So I say the first thing I want to repeat, right before it, I'm going to put an open curly brace. The last thing I want to repeat, right after it, I'm going to put a closing curly brace. Then in front of the opening curly brace, I will put a loop. Okay? So it just says, this stuff right here, I want that repeated. So I wrap it up in a loop. Okay? I write a loop to wrap it all up, the stuff that should be repeated. Then all that's left is here at how often it should be repeated. And so I want this to be repeated as long as Horatio has a next line. Okay? So I just wrap it up. Bottom-up way of creating a loop. Now when I do this, there will actually be a problem. Two problems with my last line of code. It doesn't like capitals or lines suddenly. It doesn't like them because I declared them inside another loop. Okay? I declared capitals up here inside these set of curly braces. So when those set of curly braces are gone, closed, that capitals disappears. Same thing for line. I'll just stop printing line. Because I don't need to print out the text that they typed in. If I want to get capitals, though, I'm going to need to start this count outside of my loop. Okay? You talked some on Wednesday about the idea that a variable I declare inside a set of curly braces disappears when those curly braces go away. So since I want capitals at the end, I have to declare it up at the beginning. Okay? Because I want it after the loop, I have to declare it before the loop. And now, with just adding that little wrapper, moving one variable around, this will work for an arbitrary number of lines of text. Hi, I am a line of text. Lots of caps. Now, one of the problems I have here is that no matter what I type, Java thinks it's another line. Okay? There's a special key code for telling the console there is no more input. Most of you, that will be Control D. Why D? Who knows? It's just Control D. On my particular computer, it's Control Z because it's an older computer, so if Control D doesn't work for you, you might try Control Z. But that means there is nothing more ever coming off of this keyboard. And then it says there are 11 capitals, which is correct. The H, the I, and everything in the last line. Okay, so simply by adding this while loop, I get it to do more complicated things. All right, that's the time we have for today. When we come back on Wednesday again, remember to dress to go outside. We'll have an encrypted lecture that will use this. We'll come back and talk more about it. Thank you.